Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. We're once again be studying from Philippians and taking a look at this letter that Paul writes to the church at Philippi and how it affects us in our daily lives. The lesson entitled this morning is having the attitude of Christ, or having the same mind that Jesus had. And it goes along with the idea of who we are as a people. Who do you let influence your life? Most of us, if you watch TV to some degree, TV influences you, or your friends have an influence on you. And all the people that we come in contact with to some degree influence us. But who do we really follow after? Well, hopefully, as Christians, we think we follow after Jesus. And that's really what we'll be considering today is, what does it mean to follow after Jesus? What does it mean to be a disciple, or to really wear the name of Christian? If I had asked you this morning, why did Jesus come to this earth? Why did Jesus leave heaven and come down here? Now, there's lots of different things you could say. You say, well, to forgive us of our sins, to go to the cross in our place. And that's very true. We could look at the idea of being the perfect mediator. Hebrews brings out the idea that Christ is that go-between. You think about God the Father, perfectly good, perfectly over all creation. And then here we are, finite, mortal, little weak people down here. Christ is that perfect go-between, the perfect mediator between, because He was in or lived in both camps, and so He can sort of bring us together as that perfect mediator. We look over in 1 John, and we get to a lesson that we start understanding the personality of God. The whole Gospel of John and the letter of 1 John brings out the idea that Jesus came to show us the Father, to show us His personality. Listen to words in 1 John, in chapter 4, verse 9. This is how God showed His love, or we could think about, since He is love, His personality among us. He sent us His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Love means giving. And God gave His Son to show us what love, what His personality is, what He was, and what He is to each of us. And the final thought I have that also leads into our lesson today is found over in Matthew chapter 20. And these are the words of Jesus Himself. As the apostles enter back to Jerusalem, just days or maybe a week before Jesus goes to the cross, they're discussing who would be the greatest in the kingdom. And James and John want to be on His right and His left. Now, they knew the kingdom, as far as the kingdom on earth, was going to be His people or the church set up. They had already been out preaching the coming of the kingdom. But still, there was this politics within the church. There's still, whenever you get two or three people together, I'm afraid to say it, but we have politics. We have who's better, who's the pecking order. And that's where they were. And notice what Jesus says to them. In chapter 20 of Matthew, beginning of verse 25, Jesus called them together and said, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles, or the rulers of the world, lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be a servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave." And this is the part that goes into our lesson today. "Just as the Son of Man," that is Jesus Himself, "did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many." Jesus came and set an example of how we are to live. And that's what Paul brings us into in Philippians. In chapter 2 of Philippians, Paul is going to hold up the life of Jesus. He's already told the Philippians, you need to be together, you need to have harmony, you need to be like-minded, you need to be united, working side by side. Now, in chapter 2, he holds out the example of Jesus. This is the way to get there. This is the way that we can be like-minded and we can be together by following the example of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, back on the Sermon on the Mount, which we'll get to in our Sunday school class, which goes quite a long way with this lesson today, is a passage that we read a couple weeks ago. But if you look at chapter 7 of the Sermon on the Mount, verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter the narrow gate, for wide or easy is And broad is the road that leads to destruction. But small is the gate, and narrow or hard the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. What we've been studying for the last few weeks is that idea of life, finding real life in Christ. Jesus says the way to life is not always easy, but it's there. The way of the world is easy, it's broad, and it's take the easy way out. And if we take that way, it may feel good for a while, but overall that life is not rewarding, and it leads to destruction. When you follow the narrow way, the harder way, it leads to life. It leads to eternal life, but even life now. It's brought out in our Devo the last week. It was brought out the idea that even people that aren't Christians, when they follow the principles that Jesus lays down, when their life reflects those principles, their life is better now. The principles that Jesus gives us is a better way to live. It's not always the easiest way, but it's the better way. And your life will be better for it. So often we know in our lives there are things that we should do that we don't do that we would be better if we did do. Think about when they came out with the IRA, the individual retirement accounts. They probably saw a lot of the graphs that say if you just save a little bit of money now all the way through, that when it comes time for retirement, you have a nice nest egg to go with Social Security and you'll be better off. Now, most of us know that, but how many of us put back every month to save for it? It's just a little bit. We say, well, I want to take this vacation this year, or I got to spend this. I'll do it next year. And it's always next year. And so we don't do what we need to do to really have the better life. We're not very good at saying no to ourselves. In Titus, Paul says to the young preacher Titus these words in Titus chapter 2. And it goes along with what it really means to walk as a Christian. In Titus chapter 2, Paul says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live a self-controlled, upright, godly life." It says no to the bad. So often these things that we know aren't good for us, but we give in to them. But when we start walking that narrow way, it's not always easy. But it leads to the true and the real and the abundant life that Christ wants us to have. I came across a little story about this. They called these first graders in. These are 6-year-olds. And they sat them at a desk, and they put their very favorite candy in front of them. One piece of their very favorite candy. And they said, okay, that candy is yours. You can have it anytime you want it. You can eat it now, or you can save it, whatever you want to do with it. That candy is yours. But I'm going to leave the room for about 15 minutes. And when I come back, if you haven't eaten that piece of candy, I'll give you another one just like it. And you can have two pieces of candy, a double how much candy you have. But you have to wait 15 minutes. And the teacher left the room. And what do you think the kids did? Almost every kid waited at least 5 minutes. They all knew they should. They knew they'd have twice as much candy, so they all waited about 5 minutes. And then about 2/3 of them ate the candy. But about 1/3 actually waited the 15 minutes. But it goes along with the idea, how well are we at denying ourselves? How well are we at giving to others? The idea of Philippians chapter 2 is to show us the example of Jesus. What does it really mean to give to others and even to deny yourself? And we're not always good at denying ourselves. A lot of times we know we should. And we start walking the Christian walk, we can learn. And if you go back to Titus 2, he says, the grace of God teaches us. We can learn how to live the self-controlled, godly life that God would have us to live. But it goes along with the idea of walking that narrow road. In Philippians chapter 2, there's probably not a more beautiful chapter than this chapter. There's not a better chapter to read when you wait on the Lord's table. So often we turn to 1 Corinthians 11, I think just as a cop-out almost, and we read that before the Lord's table. And this passage is such a beautiful passage. In fact, as some authors would say, the whole New Testament seems to revolve around this one chapter. And I think that's true. There are other beautiful chapters. I think 1 John, John chapter 1 is a great chapter. Colossians chapter 1 is very similar to this. Hebrews chapter 1. All these ideas permeate throughout the whole New Testament. But they really are focused here in this one little chapter, these few little verses that we read in Philippians. Look with me at what Paul says it really means to walk the narrow road. In Philippians, he says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from His love, any fellowship with the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each should look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as Christ. Now, in those few verses, he brings out the idea of the joy and the life that's on that narrow road, the road that truly leads to life. He says, do you feel any encouragement from being in Christ? Well, hopefully we would answer that. Do you understand the comfort that comes from love, especially the comfort that comes from God's love? Do you feel the participation of the Spirit? When you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit washes you and rejuvenates you. It makes you, sanctifies you in the sight of the Lord. Any affection and sympathy, that's the fellowship we have one with another. When you're in the body of Christ, you're never alone. You've got your brothers and sisters always there. And he said, this is the full life you can have. But now, what keeps us from having that life? What keeps us from having that full life, the abundant life? And all of us can recognize that's a good life. What keeps it from us? Selfishness. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. That idea of putting self first. And how do we keep from putting self first? We fix our eyes on Jesus. Remember what the Hebrew writer says? He reminds the people of all the great people of the Bible. Not maybe all of them, but Abraham and Moses and all the great Old Testament characters that most of us grew up knowing about. And in chapter 12, he says these words. He says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ scorned the shame and the tremendous suffering of the cross because he knew what came later. And that's the message of Philippians we get to in chapter 2. And listen what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. Begin this maybe the greatest section I know of. It talks about who Christ is for us. He says, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death on the cross. Listen what he says. He said, in the very form of God. Now, there's different ways you can look at what he says. And if you go through commentaries, they even talk about the words that Paul picks here and what they mean to us. But he brings out the idea that before anything else was here, Jesus was with God. And he had the same glory that God the Father had. More glory than we could ever even imagine. But he said it wasn't something to be grasped. In other words, he was willing to give that up. When we think about giving up something for each other, we don't really think about giving up anything very precious. Christ was willing to give up the very glory of heaven to come to this earth. And come to this earth not as he could have as the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, but as a servant, in human form as a servant. And not only that, not just as a servant, but as a servant willing to give his life as a ransom for many. To the very point of death, he was obedient to his Father. Amen. That is what Christ gave up for us. But that's not the end of the story. And the second half of what Paul says is just as important to us as the first half. And picking up then in verse 9, he said, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God exalted him to the highest place, gave him a name above all else. And that's the same thing that's promised to us. Four things I think you can see in these few verses that Paul paints this picture for us of Christ. First, Jesus existed with the Father before the creation of the world, before anything else was, even before time itself, as we know time, began. Jesus was with the Father. He had the same glory as the Father. He was like the Father. He was His Son. He did not consider that something to be held on to. So often we try to hold on to everything in our lives, and we hold on to this, we hold on to that. We're not willing to be a generous people. How generous was Christ? Not just His life, but He gave up the very glory of heaven to come to this earth. And He came to this earth, He gave up His life for us on that cross. He gave up everything. He gave up the glory of heaven. He came as a servant, even to the humility of walking along with us, and as Paul says, to consider others better than yourselves. As Christ said to His own apostles, I came not to be served by you, but to serve you. The very Lord of Lords, King of Kings, came to this earth to be a servant. And how willing are we to serve one another? See, Paul wants you to focus yourself on Christ so that we can start living and start having that attitude that He had. And that's the beginning of the Christian walk. Not so that we are doing it, but we need to start having that mindset, having the attitude that this is the way I'm going to live my life. This is the way I'm going to live as Christ lived, so that I can be a servant to others. But the last part is just as important. Christ was exalted to the highest place. We're promised, if we walk this road with Him, that we will be exalted to the highest place, that we will have the same glory as Christ has now. You realize it says that in the Bible, that you will be just like Him, that He will call you His brother, His sister, that you'll be part of God's household with Christ. It's not like you'll be up here and we'll be down here in heaven, but in heaven it says we'll be right with Him. We'll be exalted to the same place that He is. Now that's almost as unimaginable as the first part of this. I don't know of any passage in all the New Testament harder for us to get our arms around, so to speak, than this one. Both in how Christ was willing to give and how we're to be exalted with Him. And that's the message of Philippians chapter 2. Is what it really means to walk that narrow road. The road that leads to real life. If you walk according to the world, according to the ways around you, the easy, the broad path, it leads to death and destruction. But it also leads to hardship now. But the narrow road, the one that means occasionally denying ourselves, it means little hardship, it means willing to know what love is and to give to others. If we walk that road, then we have true life now, and we know we have the glory with Him that will follow. As Paul says in Romans chapter 8, the trouble that we have now won't even compare with the glory that we will have then. That's the true life that's offered to us. So think about your life this week. Are you walking the narrow way? Are you willing to have that idea in your mind, the mindset that Jesus had? To start having that kind of a mindset, to having that kind of ideas in your mind, that you can have an attitude of being a servant, that you can have the attitude of showing what it means to love by giving of yourself, by being submissive to each other, not having to have our way, not being self-centered. The thing that Paul brings out in this section that keeps you from obtaining that narrow road is selfishness, being self-centered. Once we give up self and start living for others as Christ showed us to, then we can truly have the real life that He offers to each one of us. This morning, think about your life. Have you started walking with Christ? Have you been baptized into Him? When you're baptized into the death of Christ, when you go under the waters of baptism, just as Christ went into the tomb and was buried, you too are buried to this world, so that when you arise from that tomb, from the waters of baptism, you arise a new creature to walk a new life, not according to the rules of this world, but according to the ways of Jesus. If you've started that and you haven't been faithful to it, then you can always come back to Him and recommit your life to Him. If you need to come in any way, won't you come? It's together we stand and sing.